Good morning. In meetings such as this, there's several things that I try to be conscious of. And one of them is the difference in the spiritual man and the carnal man. What the spirit loves and what the flesh can take. I'm very conscious of that. I live in the same kind of body that you do. Physical, flesh. The spirit is sometimes willing, but the flesh is weak. I try to pay attention to that. I try to pay attention to the burden of a service. Every service will have a particular burden. To ignore that is a mistake. Doesn't matter what you've studied or what you've planned. You better go with the wind of the service. I'm going to read two or three passages of Scripture, say very little about it, and I'm going to lunch. I don't know what you're going to do, but that's what I'm going to do. You can sit here all day if you want to. In light of what our brother has shared with us just in the immediate time preceding this short talk, I want to read Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, and Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but are not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, a righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A few days ago, I was traveling down memory lane, reviewing some things that I had heard, some things that other people have seen that I have never seen. And in that collection of memories, I once heard somebody talking about their experience of going to Metropolitan Tabernacle, the place where Spurgeon's ministry, for a large part, was home base. They said that at the entrance of that historical edifice, there was a case of memorabilia on display. Personal items from Spurgeon's time there. Don't recall if there was a Bible. Maybe there was. I don't recall if there were shoes or a suit or a tie or a hat. Don't recall any of that. But they said somewhere in that memorabilia case, there were handwritten notes by Mr. Spurgeon. A sermon, I guess, that he preached at some point. The title of the sermon was, How to Win London to God. There were three things written on the piece of paper. I'm going to give you these three things and say grace and we're going to dinner. You want to win London to God. You want to win your community to God. There's something wrong with a preacher that's pastoring the church and he don't want to win that community to God. Number one on Spurgeon's list in that sermon was this. Get a burden. Get a burden. God's business always starts with a burden. You never got saved till you got a burden to get saved. You'll never win anybody to God till you get a burden to win somebody to God. Amen. Now in the passages that I have read, chapter 9 and chapter 10 and chapter 12, there is a theme running here along these lines. Brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel is that might be saved. Don't you see a burden in that? He said in chapter 9, I have continual sorrow in my heart. Boy, he said some things. He said, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's more in that than you can unpack in a day or so. Study on how it is that the Holy Ghost and the conscience operate, in this case, in conjunction with one another. My conscience also bearing me witness. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. That's a little too deep. Mama told me don't jump in water till you learn how to swim. And I've never learned how, so I'm going to stay out of that. There's a lot of faculties in the makeup of a human being. But there's a lot of functions of those faculties, and at times those functions probably overlap with one another. Have a great heaviness, continual sorrow in my heart. So he has a burden. And I want to ask you, and you see in that passage, Paul's burden has a face that goes with it. Every burden has got a face. Face. Now, what I want you to be thinking about is the face that goes with your burden. Face. Got to have a face. You read that passage. Whose face is on your burden? Now, chapter 12, Spurgeon said, get a burden. Number two, he said, believe God. Yeah. Believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Too big to define. Faith can be an affirmation, but it's got to be more than that. It's not only an affirmation, it is an action. Real faith works.
Amen.
It's an affirmation. I believe that. I agree with that. I give assent to that. It can be that. It's an affirmation. But it's also an activity. An activity. So, you get a burden. And you believe God. He said, what'll that make you do? It'll make you get active.
Yes, it will.
It'll make you get active. And I promise, when you get active, you'll begin to see some things before they ever appear. Romans chapter 4. Abraham counted some things so before they ever appeared. Right? Get a burden. Get busy. Believe God. Present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Now those two words seem like an oxymoron. They don't seem to fit together. Sacrifice carries the idea of death. But this is a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. A sacrifice that's offered but still lives. Meaning, it's continual. It's not, boom, here's the sacrifice. Dead, over with. No. It's a living sacrifice. And it's connected with the will of God. And when you read this verse about the will of God, people talk about different things about the will of God, believe different things about the will of God. I'm going to tell you where I am with it. The will of God is the will of God, and you're in it or you're out of it. You say, well, I'm living in the permissive will of God. Well, why don't you get honest? You say you don't believe God permits some things? Sure He does. He'll permit you to have your will. And He's not afraid for you to. He doesn't feel threatened by you. He's still going to be God whatever you do about it. You understand me? So, here's the will of God. What is the will of God? Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. Two huge words. We need about half hour to talk about those two words. But they're opposite one from the other. The world is in the conformation business. The world has a mold that it wants to put you and me in. But somehow, peculiar people don't fit a mold. You see two people that are awful lot alike, one of them's fake. I remember old Brother Mays used to preach that message, three kinds of people God never uses. He never uses a coward. He never uses a copycat. And He never uses a compromiser. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not conformed to the world. No, but transform. Confirmation is a result of outside power. Transformation is a result of inside power. I'll give you this. It's dinner time. I'm hungry as a bear. I used to preach a lot for Dr. Bob Bevington over in Knoxville at the Knoxville Baptist Tabernacle. And I would always go to his Sunday school class. He taught a Sunday school class, and I knew he did. So when I was there for revival, I would always show up and sit in the back of his Sunday school class. He was a great friend. And I heard him say this in his Sunday school class. He said, the biggest problem in the church of modern day is trying to get unsaved people to act like they're saved. I want to tell you something. If the saving power of God ever gets on the inside of you, there'll be a transformation. It starts on the inside, and it works its way all the way through to the outside and to the other side. You got it? How to win London to God? It's pretty simple. Get a burden. Believe God. And get busy. Let's go to dinner. Thank you.